Thanks very much for that. So my talk's actually going to cover some of the same ground that Lloyd has just been over, but I hope you'll get something new out of my talk as well. Thanks very much first to the Australian Committee on Cataloguing for allowing me to speak to you today. This year in November marks the 25 years of the Australian National Bibliographic Database, and I think this is a great achievement by Australian libraries. And it's interesting to reflect on how far we've come from ABN to the Connecticut Service and now the new Libraries Australia Service, which are all based on this fundamental part of Australia's information infrastructure, which is the National Bibliographic Database. And these are the things I'll be covering today. Why is the National Library allowing its database content, which is often called the deep web, to be indexed by search engines? We started doing this in 2002, and I'll talk about how we initially did that with the library's digital collections. And this year, we've moved on to the opening up the National Bibliographic Database to search engines, and I'll cover what we've done to date and some of the future directions for the Libraries Australia service. So why would you want to expose your content to search engines? And I guess the main reason we see is to provide a new pathway for users to find the resources of Australian libraries and increase the use of our Libraries Australia service. But as Martha said this morning, Google is probably no substitute for a good catalogue. And we need to use Google to draw users to our OPACs, and we need to improve the OPACs interfaces so that they are as popular as Google, but also have sort of more advanced features that more advanced users need to use. Well, why do people use search engines? Well, I think ease of use and the principle of least effort has a lot to do with it, which is probably a polite way of saying, as Lloyd said, that many information seekers are quite lazy. But I think it's also true to say, as Lloyd said, that catalogues do suffer from poor user interfaces. And the UCLA report down the bottom there, Rethinking How We Provide Bibliographic Services, I think is a really good practical report to read. Recommendation I7 of the report says that libraries should provide relevance ranking and access to full text. And specifically, they should provide relevance ranking based on a broad set of criteria to arrange a set of retrieved records so that those most likely to be relevant to the request are shown at the top of the retrieved set. Now, that's easier said than done, and I'll talk a little bit later about some of the work we've been doing at the National Library on how to do relevance ranking of MARC records. We need to take advantage of the rich structured metadata that exists in MARC records, and I'll talk a bit more about that later. So we started exposing our content to search engines in 2002, but the National Library's been digitising items from its collection since about 1996. This includes a lot of special collection materials such as pictures, maps, sheet music, manuscripts, and some books and serials. And what we wanted to achieve is another pathway to our collection items. So we've ended up with three ways for people to access information. They can come into our OPAC, our library catalogue. They can also access this material via federated discovery services such as Libraries Australia, Music Australia and Picture Australia. And they can also come in and find our material via internet search engines. And the way we do this is quite simple. We just create lists of links, normally in a hierarchy, and we allow the search, and we link that into our website so the search engine crawler can just come in and follow the links and get to the content that we want them to index. We've also assigned persistent identifiers to all of our digital collection materials, and we have a resolver service so that we have a very simple URL for a particular item, which we can preserve and make persistent over time, which is an important thing. So this diagram sort of shows how this works. So you have a search engine harvester that goes to the library's website. It finds a set of a list of links, and it follows those links to the database content. So then the user can use our OPAC and find that link through to that content, our digital collections content, or they can go to a search engine and via our resolver also get to the same content. So I'll just show you how that works. If I were to go to Google and do a search for Edmund Barton, Alfred Deakin portrait, the first result returned is from the library's digital collections, and it's a portrait of Edmund Barton and Alfred Deakin. And then clicking on that link there, you link through to the National Library's website to that particular item. So it's very simple to use. Similarly for our Libraries Australia service, which is based on the National Bibliographic Database, we want to make that more accessible to users. And to that end, in February this year, we launched a free version of our search service. And we designed this to be as easy to use as Google. And it's freely available to anyone with internet access. But we still have our subscription service for libraries that supports cataloguing and interlending between libraries. So we have a sort of an advanced service for libraries, our subscription service, but we also have a free service which is accessible to anyone. After we launched that service in March, we extracted all of the records and provided them to Google. Initially, Google wanted us to provide the data in a simple XML format, so we had to convert from MARC XML to this simple format. And Google took those records and they matched them to existing content in Google Scholar. Only 700,000 records were matched, and I think it's fair to say that the quality of the matching was not what we hoped or expected. Initially in March, a record of Tim Whitten's book Dirt Music was actually linked in Google Scholar and from the link from Google Scholar to Libraries Australia went to an Italian translation of that work, so which was only held by one Australian library. So that was an example of poor matching. Another example was they were linking from Google Scholar to an abridged version of Great Expectations that was only held in two libraries, when of course there was another edition that was held in about 90 Australian libraries. So we provided some feedback to Google on the quality of this, and I think this is probably an area where Google could learn something from libraries and libraries that have been running National Union catalogues for 25 years. So what happened then was Google requested the data in MARC XML format, which we've supplied in July, and this gave them access to more match points in the record, things like LC control numbers, and they did a better job the second time with that matching process, and they matched about 1.4 million records. So now you can search Google Scholar and you can link through to Libraries Australia. So it increases use of the Libraries Australia service, and we think it's a good thing. Also, in August, they took our records and added them to Google Book Search. So that's another dimension. But really what we want them to do is take our content and put it into the main Google index. And they have said that they'll do that by the end of 2006. And we're going through a similar process with Yahoo. The reason we chose Google and Yahoo is because I think together they are about 80% of search engine searches on the net. I think Google's about 50 or 60%, so it's really dominates that market. And Google, I don't know if you're aware, but Google have a union catalogue program. So they've been not only talking to the National Library in Australia, but they've been talking to 12 other union catalogues around the world and taking data from those union catalogues. Including data from WorldCat. So when you use Google Scholar or Google Book Search, the links that you see in the results adapt based on the IP address of the user. So if you're an Australian user, you'll see links to Libraries Australia. If you're an American user, you'll see links to WorldCat. If you're a user for the Netherlands, you'll see links to the Dutch Union Catalogue. You can change that, of course, in the scholar preferences, but that's the way it works by default. There are some issues with this. As I think I said, they haven't taken a lot of our unique materials, so a lot of our records are not really exposed yet through Google. We're hoping that'll change through the main google.com index. And as I said, the matching algorithm wasn't as good as we thought. And also the whole issue of the long term and do we trust Google? I mean, I think their motto is don't be evil. And I think largely they aren't evil, but because they're a for-profit company, you know, you wonder about whether this will change in the future and whether the nice relationship that they have with libraries may change as well. So I just thought I'd show how this works. So you can go to Google Scholar and do a search for, say, Diabetes Australia, and you get some links here. The first three are books, and they have links through to Libraries Australia. The next two are articles, and then we don't have article-level information in the National Bibliographic Database at the moment, so there aren't any links for those. If you click on the first link there to Libraries Australia, you go straight through to the full details in our service. And then, of course, you can see the libraries in Australia that hold that item. They're listed there alphabetically. If you want to get access to a copy of the item, you can click on the Get This Item button and you go through to this screen. Some items are available online, this one isn't, the National Diabetes Strategy. We also have links to bookshops as well. So we're making it easy, trying to make it easy for users to find out about items and then get access to them, either through their own library, another library through interlibrary loan, or from a bookshop or other service. So this one is held in the National Library. We can click on the search catalogue link there and we go straight to that record in our catalogue. And then, of course, you can request the item if you're a member of the National Library. I also wanted to show you this one, the Google Book Search. As you know, Google have this large program to digitise millions of items from about five of the large libraries, four in the US and the Oxford University Library. Of course, because of copyright, Google can't make all of the pages available, but there's a limited preview of most books. Here's a search for Tim Winton. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can see they've added this just recently, search library catalogues for Tim Winton. If you click on the Tim Winton link there, you go through to this page and you can see, and this data has come from Libraries Australia. So we're there, we can see a list of the works, Tim Winton's works. And again, if you click on one of these links, you can link through to Libraries Australia. There are a few issues with this and we've provided some feedback to Google Book Search on how to improve this. This link here is, again, it works the same way. This links to Libraries Australia if you come from an Australian IP address. So if you click on the first item, the riders there, you'll link through to that page, similar to the other thing. I wanted to talk about libraries in the long tail. Probably, I don't know if people have heard of this concept, but so a guy called Chris Anderson wrote an article in 2004 in Wired magazine about the long tail to describe the fact that for any collection, a library collection, music, film or book catalogue, 80% of the people just want 20% of the items in the collection. The other 80% are rarely requested, and this is the long tail of low and sporadic usage. So his insight was that with digital delivery of material at very low cost, the long tail represents a new business model, which is starting to be exploited by services on the net that have large and comprehensive catalogues. And examples are Amazon in the book world, and there's a service called Netflix in the US that does lending of DVDs, and it's been very popular and very successful. So this is an example of an entirely new economic model for the media and entertainment industries, one that's just beginning to show its power. Unlimited selection is revealing truths about what consumers want and how they want to get it in service after service. People are going down deep into the catalogue, down the long, long list of available titles, far past what's available at mainstream suppliers. So we're moving from a world of scarcity, for example, where there's not enough physical space for all of the books in a bookshop or a library, or not enough bandwidth to broadcast all of the radio and television content, to a world of abundance where the cost of distribution tends to zero and users on the internet can access whatever they want whenever they want it. So this has relevance for libraries, and I think National Union catalogues, like Libraries Australia, become more important because they're comprehensive and centralised. What we need to do is connect these catalogues with other discovery pathways, like search engines, and also provide better fulfilment for users by saying being able to embed a get it from your library button in any internet service, for example in Amazon or Google Book Search, which I guess we've already done. So I think registries of services with open interfaces become important, Lloyd mentioned the idea of mashing up services. So building new services with data from a whole lot of different places on the internet, and that's something that's going to become more important, and it's already happening. So we need to project our library services into this world, into this Web 2.0 world, which people talk about. So we want to do this with Libraries Australia. Just some of the things that we're thinking about with Libraries Australia, one of them is relevance ranking, and we've started to do some work on how do you relevance rank structured MARC data, and we're developing a set of rules for relevance ranking, and we're going to present these in a paper at Information Online in February next year, but we're looking at controlling the way we match against different parts of the MARC record. For instance, matching by title, subject and author are more important than matches in other parts of the MARC record. And of course, exact matching is more important than phrase matching, which is more important than keyword matching. So you need to build services where the relevance that's reflected to the user is based on the quality of the matching against the MARC record. And of course, the number of occurrences within the record is also important. And we've also done some work looking at surrogates for relevance. So I think Lloyd already mentioned this, some of these item characteristics, whether the item is widely held, whether it's highly borrowed, whether it's a collection level record or not, whether it's available online, whether it's highly rated in other services like Amazon. Things like that are really surrogates for relevance, and they can be used within your services to build better relevance ranking. Another thing we're looking at is clustering or faceted browsing, which Lloyd also talked about. We're looking at annotation of our services. So users can add comments, they can do reviews. We want to link to value-added services. So, for example, perhaps get book reviews from Amazon or ratings from Amazon and incorporate that into our Libraries Australia service. And we want to improve the getting. And we're also re-examining our relationship with WorldCat and OCLC, and we want to make sure that, because OCLC also have their open WorldCat program, and they've made a lot of their content available via search engines like Google too, so we have to make sure that we're not duplicating the effort, I guess. So that's something else that we'll be working on. I think Martha showed this slide this morning. So people are building better interfaces to catalogues now, and I think this NCSU example, which is based on the Endeca software, is quite a good one. And if you did a search for Bay of Pigs, you can see the results by default come back in relevance order, but you can also sort by other things like data publication or title author. Etc. So it's important to have that facility. And then based on the Library of Congress classification scheme, you can drill down, you can narrow your search, you can drill down within the results based on different categories, subject category, genre, format, library, region. So all these things are important. And we've done some work at the National Library on this, and we've built a prototype using Lucene. And We've been looking at how to do relevance ranking. We're doing clustering by date, by subject, both a hierarchy, subject hierarchy, and a faceted view of the subject terms. We also have clustering by form, genre, author, and Dewey and Library of Congress classification. We augment the results with suggestions based on subject authority matching. So the top right here, this is based on subject authority data. We have spelling suggestions, so the did you mean type facility, and that's based on the corpus, so which is a similar way to the way Google operates. And we're looking at augmentation of the records. We can find related records using OCLC's ex-ISBN service. We're looking at adding data from ratings and reviews from Amazon and deep links to OPAC catalogues. So this hasn't been graphically designed at all, and it's really just a prototype, because I think the whole issue of relevance ranking and clustering is really an open research area at the moment. So if you scroll down, you can see the subject view showing the hierarchy, and we also have a faceted view of that same data. And then we have forms and genres and so on. So by clicking on these links, users can narrow their search based on the original search, narrow the original search. Another thing we're doing is creating a search box for Libraries Australia so that Australian libraries or others who are interested can embed a box within their own web pages, and that's an easy way to then link through to the Libraries Australia service. So I guess in conclusion, we think that this is a good thing to do. We seeding search engines, you have more pathways and then hopefully more users for your service. But I think union catalogues, as I said, are really important, and they'll continue to be important. They support the business of libraries through shared cataloguing and interlending. But because they're comprehensive, that they are exposing the long tail. It's a way of people very easily being able to find what's held by Australian libraries. We have 42 million items now from about 800 Australian libraries in the National Bibliographic Database. And we can build more specialised services than Google can. So there'll always be a role for our own catalogues. So I think that's all I want to say. Thank you very much.